Welcome to Aetherius Radio Live, the Hour of Truth, with Richard Lawrence and Chrissy Blaze.
A very warm welcome to all listeners of Aetherius Radio Live, brought to you on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio every third Tuesday of the month. Discover the cosmic message for this age revealed through legendary master of yoga and world-renowned medium, Dr. George King, between 1954 and 1997. There is a slight change to the order of today's show in that there will not be a halfway break. Instead, the announcements I usually give will now be given at the end of the show. So, today, your hosts, Richard Lawrence and Chrissy Blaze, will be discussing chakras, the second most valuable thing in all of existence, part two. And without further ado, I hand you over to Richard and Chrissy.
Thank you very much, Nikki.
Thank you, Nikki.
So welcome, everybody, to Aetherius Radio Live. And I'm sorry to say that Chrissy and I have a very sad announcement, from our point of view at least, maybe from some of yours as well, to make. And that is that after 12 years of doing Aetherius Radio Live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio on Blog Talk Radio, the show is coming to an end, with all the other shows actually, in this format at least, on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, as we understand. The reason this is that Blog Talk Radio will sadly be closing its doors next month after a long time performing, as far as I can tell, a very good service for many people and certainly for ourselves, and we're grateful to them. And Body, Mind, Spirit Radio are not in a position to continue on another platform. And so they too, and Penny Golden, the CEO of Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, has decided that she won't seek another platform. And she's invited us to host podcasts on her website, should we wish to. We will no doubt be taking her up on that very generous offer from time to time. But Aetherius Radio Live, in its current format, will have to end. This is then our last show in this format. And this, as I say, is a sad moment for Chrissy and I. And I want to say that it's Chrissy who was the inspiration, as far as I'm concerned, the pioneer behind Aetherius Radio Live. And without her, it wouldn't have happened at all. And she really got the ball rolling right at the beginning of 12 years ago and invited me to join her. And I was very happy to do so. And it's been an absolute honor and a pleasure. And by the way, this isn't the end of us doing podcasts and of us passing forth our great and wonderful teachings in the Aetherius Society, not in the slightest. We definitely hope to be doing specials from time to time on particular topics. And of course, there are many other avenues, and you can find them through aetherius.org for you to find various podcasts, blogs, and above all, I would say now, which didn't exist for most of the life of Aetherius Radio Live, the great audio cloud release of all the wonderful lectures and transmissions in the Aetherius Society, which are now available for a very, very modest payment to everyone, and to really get into and study not our views, but the actual original teachings in their given form as transmissions and as lectures delivered by Dr. George King. But Chrissy and I do want to thank a number of people for all the help we've been given throughout the years. And Chrissy's going to say a few words in a moment. But first of all, let's start with Penny Golden, who has really been most generous and hosted us and supported us over the years. And we've been very happy to find a home with her and with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And I think they really got us kick-started. The whole concept of Aetherius Radio Live came out of that. And it has developed over the years, certainly technically, but it did start absolutely in that format as a live radio show. And that's what we want to thank Penny and her team, her excellent team, for. Also, we've had an absolutely wonderful team, as you would expect, at the Aetherius Society, and they've participated on various shows as guests over the years. We can't name any of them, because if we name one, it would be invidious to leave another one out. But we've had so many guests on this show, often prominent people in the Aetherius Society, experienced people, people who knew Dr. King well, and they've helped to make the show what it is. And as well as that, we have our technical team, which includes Ayub Malik and Jamie Bates. They provide an essential technical role for us and are doing so right this minute, actually, as we record this show. And they've been supported by others. Jeremy Curtis has also played a key technical role. And from time to time, we've had technical help from Darren Ball and Julian Rosser. All those people have helped us and helped to make Aetherius Radio Live what it has been for 12 years, every month, looking into the deeper meanings of our wonderful, completely unique teachings. I've certainly learned a tremendous amount doing this show and started to understand things I really did not understand in the same way at all, not even nearly 12 years ago. And that's been a real honor and a privilege to be one of the hosts and to be able to look into the incredible consistency, which we've talked about many times in our teachings. But thank you to that technical team there who've really made this possible. And we would be absolutely remiss, and never mind in trouble, if we didn't mention our wonderful producer, Nikki Wood. She's kept us in line. She's provided us with her memorable feedback sometimes and her announcements every month. And sometimes when she has been unavailable, her place has been filled very well indeed by Noemi Bates. And our thanks go out to her too. But I just want to spend just a couple of minutes thanking my co-host Chrissy, because from my point of view, I couldn't have had a better co-host to work with. Chrissy and I have worked together on and off for over 40 years, and that's just in this life. And it's just been an absolute joy throughout. She's extremely professional. She has this ability, which I certainly need, to make sure all the things that I'm coming up with are intelligible, are relatable, are accessible to all our listeners, because we have some extremely experienced listeners who've made profound comments, including people who are directors, people who've known the Dr. King at a very personal level. But we've also had people who are completely brand new. And Chrissy has been superb for that and making sure these very advanced teachings, a lot of them, are absolutely understandable to everyone we're talking to. And as I said at the beginning, it's down to her that this show started at all. And for me, it's something I will miss, but I know Chrissy and I, as I say, will be doing specials from time to time. All our listeners, you'll be the first to know as and when we do, but a final thanks to Chrissy Blaise.
Well, thank you so much, Richard. I have to say it's been an honor and a pleasure and a great joy to be a part of, to co-host Aetherius Radio Live with you, Richard, for 12 years. It's hard to imagine. Time flies. And it's been a tremendous opportunity to help spread the cosmic teachings in this way. And it's made me realize just how precious our teachings are, as they can take us to the stars. And I have to thank our beloved master for giving these teachings to the world and for explaining them to us. And to all the cosmic masters whose teachings we have delved deeply into, especially the Master Aetherius, for his name, a special vibration of which has been a part of Aetherius Radio Live each month. And it's funny because when I woke up this morning, Richard and I hadn't decided the best course of action to take with this show. And my first impulse when I woke up was to offer a prayer to the Master Aetherius, which I normally do give him thanks as part of, you know, my prayer work. But this time it was a special prayer for the Master Aetherius. So I thank you, the Master Aetherius, for your inspiration always. And I want to thank especially Richard, my co-host, for without him, the show would not have reached the spiritual heights that I believe it has over the years. While we in the society all love and study our teachings, it's sure, Richard goes further than anyone else I know. He digs deep, he contemplates, he meditates upon them, he uses them. And because of this, he's able to put this unique, extraordinary stamp on the interpretation and deeper meaning of the teachings. And we can understand the teachings at first study because they're so brilliantly given to us that they can be simple. But the further we go, the more we study them, the more extraordinary they will become. And Richard has enabled us to understand more about the extraordinary nature of the teachings. He's a genuine spiritual teacher who's led the listeners to the very heights, not just through his intelligent and intuitive understanding of the teachings, but because of his own experiences of living the teachings, raising the kundalini and opening higher chakras. And it's been a blessing, it's been a joy traveling this path with him. And I'd like to thank, obviously, all the people that Richard mentioned, especially Nikki Wood, who's done such an excellent professional and enthusiastic job as the producer of the show. And, you know, she always makes us laugh and relaxes us before we begin. So thanks, Nikki, for that. And thanks also to the tremendous patient expertise of the technicians behind the show, a central part of the show, Ayub, Jamie, Jeremy, Darren, and I believe Julian at times. And you've done a fantastic job. And as I say, you've been extremely patient with me because I'm not the most technically brilliant person. So thank you for that. And also to Penny Golden, who has been such a great supporter of the Aetherius Society and has enabled us to have this on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio over many years. So thank you to all those people. And as Richard says, we will continue with special editions of Aetherius Radio Live into the future. So thank you especially to the listeners of Aetherius Radio Live. I know many of you come up to me and tell me how great the show is and how much they appreciate it. And they really take it to heart. And that means so much to us.
Yes, it does. Thank you for those beautiful words, Chrissy. I also want to join you in thanking the listeners because they really do make it. I too meet people all the time who say they hear this, even sometimes members of the public I've never met before, and they'll tell me they listen to Aetherius Radio Live, and it's a wonderful thing. And some of you who've made comments too, your comments are showing up when we put this up on the website. And by the way, we have a fantastic archive. That's the beauty of this. It's not come and gone. It's there. And it's full of information, and it stays there, 12 years of shows available through, I think, I don't know if all of them are there, but if not, most of them are there, or many of them are there, on our website, and they can be looked at. And just to give just one example at random, something we did do on Aetherius Radio Live, which stands out for me as an example, is when we looked into the five temples of God, which is one of the transmissions, and it was in print, and it was a book that many of us in the Aetherius Society kind of grew up with, and it desperately needed bringing up to date because so much was changed since that transmission and that book was published in 1967. And yet the essence of it was there, and we did, I think, two or possibly even three shows on that. And I think that kind of thing is going to be extremely valuable, especially in the future, when people think, well, what, you know, how was that changed by Dr. King himself? Because he did not have time to do everything and to comment on everything, or certainly publish all his commentary on everything and how the changes. It was enough for him, more than enough for him, just to perform his cosmic role and keep up with the various changes and missions as they evolved. So that's an example, I think, of something we were able to do on Aetherius Radio Live that you won't find anywhere else. Actually, you won't even find that in the audio cloud. That is something which is unique to Aetherius Radio Live and something we were privileged to do. And so glad, Chrissy, that you mentioned Dr. King, of course, because without him, there'd be no Aetherius Radio Live and the beloved Master Aetherius. I think that's really, those are all the words that I can offer at this sad moment, other, Chrissy, than to get into the show, our last show, the final show of this year, and the final show of Aetherius Radio Live in its current form.
Thank you so much, Richard. Yes, indeed. Welcome again to Aetherius Radio Live. And this is part two of the fascinating topic of the chakras, the second most valuable thing in all existence. Wow. It's a good way to end, right? In part one, we discussed the vastness of this topic from a cosmic perspective. And Richard, you put forward an amazing concept that the galaxies are the chakras of the universe, which is pretty amazing and very interesting to me. I've always thought that the basis of how astrology works is that the living planets radiate energy through their chakras. But I had never before thought of the galaxies as being chakras themselves. That's truly profound.
I think it is profound. And can I also say that this quote that you started with, or the title really, the second most valuable thing in all of existence, can I remind people that's an exact quote by Dr. George King. That's something he said, and it's an amazing statement. And of course, we did in part one say what the most valuable thing is as well. But sorry to interrupt you. Please carry on, Chrissy.
No problem. So today in part two, we're going from the macrocosm to the microcosm and looking at the chakras within us all as evolving human intelligences that we are. But first of all, there are a couple of things which often come up in relation to the chakras. And I think, Richard, you wanted to touch on these. The first concern is the mystic elements they represent, which I am familiar with through astrology, namely earth, water, fire, and air, and then the fifth element of ether, which is used in Vedic astrology, I believe. So how do these elements relate to the chakras, Richard?
Yeah, in Vedic astrology, that's interesting you say that, because there would probably be called Akasha, I suppose, in the Sanskrit. Yes, this is pretty well universally agreed. Lots of people argue about the chakras in terms of their colors and various things, and that's because they don't really know. But on this, most mystics are agreed. And of course, one thing to always remember with the chakras, as with the elements or tattvas, whatever you wish to say, they are all good. There is no such thing as a bad chakra. There's a misuse of chakras. There's an overuse of chakras. There's an underuse of chakras. But there is no such thing as a bad chakra. So having said that, to answer your question, which of these elements do we associate with which? The base of the spine is associated with the earth, the sex center with water, the solar plexus with fire, the heart center with air. I think that's particularly interesting because often when people talk about the heart, and you find it a lot in the New Age movement, as well as not in the New Age movement, they're thinking about emotion. The heart, actually, the sentimental part of the heart, is a tiny aspect, an aspect of only one petal, actually, of the heart center, or one face of the heart center, and it's only a partial activation of that. The full heart is, we'll go into what they're all associated with. It's very peaceful. It's a wonderful chakra. But being governed by air, and Chrissy can throw more light on this than I can, is a mental element. And it's a center which is of higher consciousness, the heart center. In fact, it's the beginnings of higher consciousness, I would say, really. Super consciousness, you might say. And so the fact that that element, not water, not fire, but air, is connected with the heart, and as I say, that's universally agreed, is very interesting, I think, Chrissy.
Yes.
And the fifth one, the throat center, is ether. And that's interesting too, because it's there that you can gain certain powers. And according to Dr. King, it's when you're able to raise Kundalini in its entirety to the throat center, you become an adept. So ether, of course, the etheric element, the mystical element, the higher dimensional, some people would call it element, the higher frequency element, that's connected to the throat center. Now, the meanings of these elements is well known in Eastern and Western mysticism, and they're often connected with the pranas and the tattvas. Of course, like there are five elements, there are five tattvas, there are five pranas, or should we say five major and five minor pranas. But that's an enormous subject. But what is interesting, I think, are the centers above those five. The highest two centers are beyond those elements even, because that's when they are fully realized, when we're starting to move beyond mind as we know it. All chakras are centers of mind. That's why I think it's interesting to look at the galaxy, or even a solar system, some would say, as the chakras. Because the galaxy is a mind center, is a center of preservation held together by mind. And all the chakras are mind. Now, in the Christ center, you become one with that upon which you meditate. And in the crown center, the seventh, the highest center, you're one with the entire universe. And then cosmic consciousness is possible to a greater or lesser degree, depending how advanced you are. So in other words, those centers, those two highest ones, aren't limited. You are not limited then. You are free, as it were, when you fully enter them. Interestingly enough, when Dr. King first opened the Christ Center, and this you'll see right at the beginning, in fact, the first commentary in the Nine Freedoms is about this, he describes the fear you can get from that first vision, and the fact that you feel this sense, in his case, of being completely alone in the universe. And he says at that point, some people give up. Now, I believe, and this is a massive subject, he was following the old yogas in those days. He was practicing Kundalini yoga and other yogas to gain the powers he needed to gain to perform his mission. He didn't know what his mission would be at that point, but he knew he needed to gain these powers, and he gained them. But if you're following a path of service, you could have that self-same experience in a different way. I concluded that after meditating on this, as to why it is that when you start to awaken these centers, this applies also to the base center, you won't necessarily have exactly the same experience if you're on the path of service and have been for decades, say, as someone who is just purely doing their development, perhaps in their 20s or 30s. And yet that same test must come. And I concluded it could also come through your sense of responsibility. When you really see the light and you see what you're meant to do in this life, or what you could do in this life, which is really what you're meant to do, that can cause people to feel alone. That can cause people also to drift off the path. I've seen it. It's when they realize the full extent of their responsibilities and capabilities, and they don't want it. And then sometimes they'll go away from it. So you could have had that experience, is my point, through service, so that when you then eventually raise Kundalini, as I've done, not in the same way as Dr. King, in a much more limited and partial way, but nevertheless, I have raised it to that center only recently, as we've talked about before, then you don't necessarily have that self-same experience, because you might have had that in another way. But you will still be tested at that point, and I was, and anybody would be, when it first starts to happen and there's been a big internal resistance to it. Sorry, Chrissy, I got right off the point there, but that's the answer to your question about the elements and which centers they each apply to.
Well, that was very interesting, Richard. I suppose you're talking about, in a way, it's like people realizing their destiny. I mean, they might be traveling on a certain path, and there's a point where you kind of realize more fully what your destiny is.
Mm. It is. After I came to this conclusion, I then later read an article that heard an address that Dr. King had given on the commemoration of Operation Blue Water in 1975. And he said that when he was given And some of our listeners will be familiar with Operation Blue Water, I hope. If not, please. I'm sure we've done a show on Operation Blue Water somewhere in the archives.
We have, yeah.
But anyway, he was given the responsibility of designing some equipment to perform that mission. And long story short, nobody else on Earth, not one person on Earth, could have done that in the time that was necessary. And also, nobody from beyond this Earth was allowed to help him from a karmic point of view, because it had to be done by someone in an Earth physical body, which he was at that time. And he says, in talking about this, he said that it's a feeling of loneliness that you couldn't know and that you'd been in that kind of a position. And he said, I felt alone in the universe. And it was interesting to me because only a week before, I'd come to the conclusion, or days before, actually, less than a week, that you could gain that self-same experience he's talking about at the beginning of the Nine Freedoms when you first look through the Christ Center on the path of service through this being in a position of responsibility, virtually confirmed it by using exactly the same words, being alone in the universe for the two experiences. And I think that, you know, is interesting to me because what I'm interested in doing, Chrissy, is explaining to people who are on the path of service, which he wasn't. He was really, because he didn't even need to be here, but he was following the old yogas. We're not following the old yogas. We're not encouraged to do that, and we're not even advised to do that. So we will have these experiences in different ways as we tread this path, but we'll still have to have them. So, for example, another one to do with chakras, he talked about the first time he raised Kundalini, about the excruciating pain that he felt in the base center. And he said he was burning up karma when he did this. He took on karma just by coming here. So it wasn't really his karma, but he still had to burn it up. And he was, again, following the old yogas, following the Kundalini yoga path brilliantly, in a way most people would not be capable of and shouldn't even attempt, really, because it's not safe unless you're an exceptional person, as he was, to attempt it. But this excruciating pain he felt to burn up karma, that's the path he was on. Now, if you'd been on the path of service, this is my point, for decades, you might not feel that degree of excruciating pain in order to burn up karma. You might have been burning it up in multifarious different ways, still suffer through test, through endurance, through suffering, through maybe a certain form of pain. It could be a mental pain, an emotional pain, or even a physical one. You'd still have to do that. But you're doing it now on the path of service, and that's what interests me. Having said that, you will feel some pain, and I still do now, and you will still feel the burning. But it will, and this is of great interest to me at the moment going forward, to explore the difference if an unforced rise of Kundalini brought through the chakras on the path of service, as opposed to, you might say, a forced raising of Kundalini brought solely through the path, or mainly through the path, of personal development.
Wow, that's very, very interesting, Richard. Can I briefly go back to your point about realizing, you know, your path and feeling, you know, gave you an example of Operation Blue Water, because I've been doing a lot of work on 2025, the astrology, and everything is what's really coming to me, a spiritually minded person, the person on the path of service. This next year and the next 3 years is all about commitment, finding your destiny and committing to it. It's about discipline, it's about commitment. And it really is almost like the last chance we have for those of us who've been kind of, you know, going around different places and finding different things. This really is the year next year where we have to really commit to that, whatever it costs us.
Yeah.
That's what I feel. So that was such an interesting point to me. Thank you.
Well, while you mention that, may I recommend Chrissy about her knowledge of astrology, which it's you, and this is a bit off topic, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's our last show. Chrissy has a tremendous knowledge of astrology and always has since I first met her. And I don't know what year that was, Chrissy. Would it be 1973? I don't know. It's that long ago. That's 50 years ago or more. But whenever it was that we first met, you were already a pretty versed astrologer. You already correct me if I'm wrong. Weren't you at the Faculty of Astrology already then, studying astrology, I think?
It's a little bit later, actually, in the 80s, yeah.
Okay, the 80s. Okay, you were. So I'll correct myself. It came in the 80s. But you, in other words, you've been on it for over 40 years. And you've been doing readings for all that time, really. And so, but the thing is that Chrissy brings to the table also, and this is what makes her a unique astrologer, her experience of the spiritual path and her active everyday experience. By everyday, I mean doing it every day. Not doing it for a year and then having a sabbatical or going off and spending 3 years of family time or whatever. She's done this throughout her life, let's say since the 80s, practicing astrology, as well as, more importantly, I'm sure she'd agree, following the highest of spiritual paths. Bring the two together and you have a unique astrologer called Chrissy Blaise. there just isn't anyone else on this plane that I know of anyway, who's done that. And so I would recommend, if you're seeking astrological guidance in any way, don't go any further than Chrissy Blaise.
Thank you, Richard. Gosh, I must admit that our teachings, they blend so well with astrology, the living planets, the Mother Earth, the influence of all this. It's just, they go together perfectly. So I'm very fortunate like that. Thank you so much, Richard. Let's talk about the chakras, shall we? And because you wanted to talk about a very, very fascinating topic, and that is the color of the chakras. Could you explain that to us, please, Richard?
Yes, I would, because there's an awful lot of nonsense spoken about this, and I'm sorry to have to say that, but I think we have to say things like that. We can't, as they used to say, pussyfoot around. I don't know where that phrase comes from, but we have to really not mince our words, is it, or mix our words, something like that. We've got to be outspoken. We've got to say it. And there really is nonsense. And there's nonsense on a lot of these topics. There's absolute nonsense on Kundalini yoga. As I've said before, the lucky thing is that most of the people who speak this nonsense don't know what Kundalini yoga is. And so they aren't getting into terrible trouble in terms of their health and mental well-being. Because if you do mess about with it, it could be extremely dangerous. And I've noticed that some spiritual, whatever they call themselves, spiritual teachers or life coaches or whatever, they'll take up chakras and kind of try to use it. There's some very clever people in the New Age movement, let me just say. And I'm not saying they don't help anyone, and I'm not saying they aren't sincere, but they'll take up a topic like the chakras and try to use it to help people in their ordinary life in whatever way those people want to progress, be it through money, be it through relationships, be it through, holidays, be it through careers. And they'll sort of take over a thing like chakras, which they don't really know about from personal experience, and play with it almost. So I'm sorry, I have to say that. So there are different opinions about the colors of the chakras, and you'll find that. So I've looked into other views a bit from various sources, and I actually respect and trust. And the ones I'm referring to here include writings from the great Upanishads and Puranas, the old Vedic texts, thousands of years old Sanskrit texts, the leading theosophist Leadbeater, the tantric, and I don't know whether you remember, actually, that Dr. King used to have some pictures from one of Leadbeater's book about the chakras around his room. Not that he confirmed, by the way, that they were correct at all, but I don't know whether this was in London, whether they were put up by him or put up by some well-meaning committee member in London before my time, but they were there. So that's another one, Leadbeater. The tantric teachings brought to the West by Sir John Woodruff, that's a famous one, the serpent power. Some of the thoughts of Swami Satchitananda, who's a leading disciple of Swami Sivananda, and the direct experiences of the great Japanese mystic Hiroshi Motoyama. So I've looked into those, obviously not as much as I've looked into the absolutely infallible teachings, as far as I'm concerned, of Dr. George King, by the way, just to see. And one thing I've found, even with those names I've just named, and I'm putting Dr. King on a different level because he is on a different, much higher level, but one thing I have found is that they're not all in full agreement. And when I say higher level, may I just say that when it comes to the Upanishads and the Puranas, a bit like the Holy Bible, you are dealing with translations. You're also dealing with word of mouth. And this is what can make even a great text like that not 100% reliable. Anyway, I found that they are not in full agreement with each other. And I think there's a good reason, in fact, a fairly obvious reason for this. Because if Leadbeater was clairvoyantly able to see the colors of an individual chakra in a human being, he would only be seeing the state of that chakra at that particular time. The impurities, the imbalances, the blockages within these chakras, and there are very significant blockages in the aura, and there are three major ones. We may come on to that later. But all of those, and pretty well everyone on earth has them to a greater or lesser extent, will cause discoloration. So no matter how good his clairvoyant vision might have been, and that's what I think those pictures I refer to were based on. They weren't drawn by him. They won't represent the full potential of the chakra, if you see the difference I'm making here. You're seeing it as it is now, not as it could be. There's another example of this, actually, you'll find, and you'll find it all over the internet, when people do diagrams of the main channels of energy that are called the nadis, because blockages in the aura are caused by, and excuse the phrase, nadic confluence. And by that I mean intersecting lines of force causing, if you like, a roadblock, a pranic roadblock. Now, when you look at some diagrams, if you do, of the main channels, the main three channels, and people who know realize your inner potential will know these, and other people will know too. The most important nadis are Susumna, which is in the center of the spine, Ida, which is IDA, which is on the left of the spine, and Pingala, which is on the right. When you see those drawn up generally, historically, and I do believe accurately, you'll see them start at the base and then go outwards and then cross over just below the heart center. Some people will know what I'm talking about. And then they'll go round the other way and then they'll meet again just below the Christ center. And then they'll go up to the crown center. Now, that I believe is just a depiction of something that has happened through our evolution. So just to repeat that, you have what are called granthis in Sanskrit, I believe, G-R-A-N-T-H-I-S, which are blockages beneath those very significant chakras, the base center, and that's the great pain Dr. King was talking about there, breaking through that granthi, the heart center, very significant moment when you start to transfer your consciousness to the heart center. Immediately. I don't know if you know Blaise Pascal, Chrissy. You have to forgive me. I'm going way off our notes again. I'm sorry. I have to apologize here. Blaise Pascal, the mathematician in the 17th century and philosopher and so on, he had this incredible experience. He wasn't particularly religious, but he had this experience which he described as fire. That's interesting too. You have some Western people who have experienced Kundalini. They never heard of Kundalini. It's a burning sensation. In Tibet, you have Tummo, which is, if you like, a Tibetan version of Kundalini yoga, which is a yoga of the heat. And the great Milarepa had to go up the Himalayas in a cotton robe and survive the storms and the blizzards and the snow because of use that power of inner heat. So there is this element. So Blaise Pascal described fire, and then he had this religious experience. And in fact, it changed him forever. And what he learned, he said, and we're talking about a 17th century Frenchman, so he didn't have access to the sort of teachings we're revealing today at all. A lot of what he described was in the sort of words that he would have used at the time from a Judeo-Christian background, of course. And you get that. People put it in their own lingo, their own language, their own terms of reference. But it's the same thing. Doesn't matter what culture it's from, it's universal. But what he did, he sewed this thing after he'd written it. He sewed these words he wrote from that experience into his waistcoat so he would never, ever forget it. But what it reminded him of, he said, was to listen to the heart. And that's a big moment when you break through that granthi and you come up. The point I want to make here is that's another depiction. I think it's far more complex in reality than this. I don't think it's just three or even two nadis. I think it's a whole variety. There are thousands. Some say 72,000. I think Dr. King said more than that within us, causing these blockages, causing these roadblocks in the pranic flow through these intersecting nadis, what I call this nadic confluence. And that has to be broken down and removed. And when it is, then you will have the passages as illustrated in Realize Your Inner Potential by Dr. King himself, who I think was above, certainly through his lives above, because he didn't have any on earth before that one, not a full life. He didn't have the samskaras and the things that cause these internal blockages through habitual patterns of behavior, samskaras, through many lives. He didn't have that. And so what he depicted was purer. And I've often wondered, Chrissy, why it is that his illustration, and you'll see it in Realize Your Inner Potential, where Ida is completely on the left channel and Pingala is completely on the right channel. You don't have this crossing over. Because that's, and that's the visualization he teaches and uses, that's where we need to end up. This is my point. So again, that's a long-winded thing, but you have, this is the reason, I think, that even some genuine sources disagree with each other, because they're looking at the chakras the way they are, not as the way they will be. I don't know if you want to comment on any of that, Chrissy, at all.
So are you saying then that once we break through these blockages, through raising the kundalini, then we don't have to go through that again once we reach that stage?
Yes, and of course the other thing, and I found this to my own cost, yes, you do. And I'm running events on chakras in 2025. So that's, I hope, will be in keeping with your astrological predictions, because that's going to be fantastic for me. And I do believe, to be honest, for all the students as well, because there's things there they won't get anywhere else. But what we need to do, though, is do two things. We need to release the blockages and then we need to transmute them. You know, there is a god in Hindu writings by the name of Lord Harihara. Harihara, I've probably pronounced it wrong. I've only come across this particular god in the last week, so it's that recent. But it was necessary. It was a depiction of a god. And I do believe there is, this is my opinion, a being of that nature, or was, and still is, but what function it's performing, I don't know at this point in time. But what was seen as being necessary was to combine what they saw as Vishnu with what they saw then as Shiva. That it wasn't enough he's known actually for removing obstacles in aspiring spiritual students.
Really?
There's a reason why I know this, but I won't go into all that. It's quite interesting to me that he, when I came across him, that if that's the right word, that, you know, that's what he's known for, among other things. But it was necessary not just to have the element of release, if you like, or, the preservative quality of Vishnu, but also that element, which they saw in those days anyway, as destruction. I would see it now as transmutation. You need to do both. And with that, then you can remove the blockages. Let me just share, if I may, to illustrate this, one practice that is very, and it's a wonderful practice. In fact, Dr. King said it was an essential practice, that you wouldn't really get too far without it. And that is what we call the mental hand practice, which is in Realize Your Inner Potential. It was given to us by Dr. King. And it's just amazing to me. And I went through them when I last had a holiday with my wife, Alison. We sat down. We went through in our minds all the practices. And nearly all of the practices we do are related to the chakras. And I'm including in that dynamic prayer, which is marked out by its use of chakras, the heart chakra in particular, and the minor chakras in the palms of the hands. The healing technique is all about the chakras, as taught by Dr. King. And nearly every practice we do, in the practice of the presence being an obvious one, relates to chakras in one way or another. And one of the practices that Alison came up with, what about the mental hand practice? Which, for those who aren't familiar with it, is when you have a bad thought or you think a bad thought, don't just let it go. Visualize a mental hand pulling it in to the solar plexus center. And then when you've brought that bad thought back in with this mental hand, you then visualize it being transmuted, usually with the violet flame or the white light. I remember doing that's one of the first things I was taught by, because I asked him, John Holder, when I met him up in Hull. He was called Sam then. And he told me about the Aetherius site. He's a fellow, a great friend of me and Chris's, and he's a fellow director here now. But he was at Hull University with me. He told me to use this practice. When I saw him a few days later, I'd only met him about a week before. He said, how are you getting on with that practice? I said, well, it's okay, but the trouble is the thought's getting out of my hand. That was a big laugh. It's escaping from my hand. Anyway, that was just a joke. But you need to hold on to it, pull it in firmly, and then you transmute it. Now, what I've only realized in the last few weeks about that practice is that when you do that, you're not just transmuting this bad energy that went out. I can see that. What goes around comes around. You don't want to leave negative things out there. You don't want to harm anyone. And you don't want to harm yourself because it will rebound on you. That's clear. But as well as that, if you do that practice properly, and I'm going to teach people how to do this properly, you will not only transmute that particular thought, you'll start to transmute whatever was behind it at an internal level that caused you to think in such a way. And then you're getting to the root of the problem. And so what you're then doing is, as it were, virtually untangling this confluence, as I've called it, this you know, conurbation, I don't know if that's the right word, but all these lines coming together where they shouldn't do, which I think is depicted in that diagram. You'll find it all over the internet of the Granthis. And it will then gradually be transmuted. And it will then return to where these lines of force should be. And then you'll start to have a more complete rising of Kundalini. Because you can have a rise of Kundalini. I've done it myself at the right time through service or through any great path. And it will just happen. I mean, it happened to Hildegard of Bingen, you know, wonderful woman. In what, 11th century, is that, Chrissy, or 12th? I don't know. One amazing woman. But she also described this fire but in her whole being. She clearly had Kundalini experience. I think I've got it somewhere. What she actually said, very short. She said, I am the fiery life of the essence of God. I am the flame above the beauty in the fleels. I shine in the waters. I burn in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And with the airy wind, I quicken all things vitally by an unseen, all-sustaining life.
Wow.
That's the only thing that's more valuable than the chakras is the life. And so you have that in Kundalini. And then you join together Kundalini with the chakras and you have everything.
Wow, that's so helpful what you're saying, Richard. Like, would you say then, I mean, it must also on a basic level help your health too, your basic health, your transmuting and your unknotting the knots and so forth.
Certainly. It must do, mustn't it?
And your mental capacity may increase and your...
Memories will come back in abundance. And it's not that you need... I mean, all memories are within us. Until or unless we transmute them, and even then we could call on them, I think. But you don't need to remember everything, but you'll find, I've found, and I'm sure others have, memories will come back to you at certain times. And since I had my experiences in 2023, loads of memories have come back to me, some very small, that I hadn't really thought about at all. The reason they come back is often, in this case anyway, is in order to trigger a certain type of energy interaction within you. So through that mind form of that memory, you can get back. For example, if you remember being, let's us just say, unkind, or you might remember a good thing. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. Let's say some good thing happens to you that you didn't appreciate as fully as you could have done or should have done. Whatever it might be, it'll come back to you, and then you can kind of, what if there's a blockage connected with that energy, it's like a trigger. By thinking about it correctly, by thinking, oh yes, that was good, that was wonderful, I really appreciate that now. Or by thinking, yes, that was unkind of me, I should be more kind, and in future I will be more kind. Those kind of mentalities that you're going through cause these blockages to be lessened. You can also do practices, as I mentioned as well. And of course, the best thing you can do is service, because through service, you directly transmute. Not only do you help other people, which changes your karma, you simultaneously generate the kinds of energies, not for your own benefit, not because it's experiences that you need, but just in order to help others. But at the same time, you're generating energies which will bring an internal transmutation and purification, which we all need. I mean, in the old days, the old yogas, you couldn't start till you purified yourself. Now you purify yourself along the way.
Would you say that all our master's practices are helping to transmute?
All's quite a word, but I don't want to be dogmatic. You think of the fishing line practice, you wouldn't say, but as transmuting per se, although it could lead to that. So I suppose in a way it is, you're reeling it in. Yes, you could certainly see a transmuting aspect in everything Dr. King did. Right. And actually it's very much within the Aetherius Society, and it's a word that's used all the time in our teachings, or very often anyway.
That's very helpful, Richard, because I know many people, many of us, including myself, we get caught up in sort of guilt situations about something that happened in the past. We should have done this and we should have done that. And that, I can see how that could cause a blockage. So what you just said, I think, could be very helpful to many people. Save us having, say, people having to go to therapists all the time.
Yes. I hope it could be. But what I've realized is we haven't really got started.
No.
Other than just to give a few little tips. And I don't think we can scratch the surface on this. I think we'll have to, I mean, I'll definitely be returning to all things chakras in a big way
right
next year through one form or another. I just want to sort of, as we're coming to our close and as we're going to be handing over shortly to Nikki, just thank you again, Chrissy, for being the most wonderful co-host. It's been an absolute joy and an inspiration. And thank Nikki again, our producer. And I do want to wish all our listeners a very happy Christmas, because I think that's coming up quite soon when this goes up, and a very, very happy new year. And you know, you've told us what to expect in 2025.
Yeah, if we think, you know, we've got going before now, the next 3 years, we're really going to get going. Our backs are against the wall, basically, all those spiritually minded people. Well, thank you, Richard. You are always an inspiration and always a joy. So thank you very much. And thanks to Nikki, who just keeps us all in a good mood all the time, doesn't she?
She really does. But don't tell her we said...
No, I would never do that.
Good. No.
Well, thank you so much.
And thanks again to all our wonderful listeners to Aetherius Radio Live. And please carry on being our listeners, because I bet you haven't been through every show we've ever done over the last 12 years. So you've got your work cut out now, going back to the archive, perhaps rehearing ones that you're interested in. And hopefully you'll enjoy Aetherius Radio Live, listening to our archive for years to come.
Yeah, and your comments are always very appreciated.
They are. Indeed, they are.
Happy Christmas to you and a happy new year.
Well, fantastic. What can I say? Absolutely riveting. Thank you, Richard and Chrissy. The revelations just keep coming. I don't know how you do this, you both. Absolutely amazing. And certainly so much to inwardly digest for our spiritual contemplation, and what a fantastic and brilliant show to end this year with. Absolutely amazing. Thank you, Richard and Chrissy. Starting the new year, 2025, you might like to know that there are a few exciting events already arranged to take place. On Friday, January the 17th at 7 p.m. EST, Chrissy will be giving a lecture at the Eastern USA branch in Royal Oak on the astrology of 2025, a new spiritual renaissance. Friday, January 31st at 7 p.m. EST, Chrissy, together with her husband Gary, will be starting a new monthly series at the Eastern USA branch on new moon mantra chanting. So watch out for these on Aetherius.org. At the Temple in London, a new program of activity starts with its first event on Saturday, January the 18th, How to Escape the Matrix with Darren Ball, and this starts at 5:30 p.m. GMT. For full details of these and other future activities taking place at Aetherius Society locations around the world in the new year, please visit Aetherius.org. Yes, as already announced, sadly, this is the last show of Aetherius Radio Live with Richard Lawrence and Chrissy Blaise. So from all of us here at Aetherius Radio Live, we would like to thank you so very much for listening to our shows throughout the past 12 years. My thanks to Richard and Chrissy for allowing me the privilege of being the producer for the majority of these shows. And also, I would like to personally thank all our Aetherius Radio Live listeners for being so open-minded by joining with us in sharing so many fascinating and fantastic topics covered during this hour of truth. As already mentioned, you know that you are very welcome to access the archives of previous Aetherius Radio Live shows and enjoy the excellent content of these, details of which are on our website, listed under blogs and podcasts. Now, if you would like to be kept informed of any future podcasts and you're not already on our email list, then you are very welcome to visit our website and click on the link Subscribe to 17 Days of Spiritual Wisdom. And for details of how to do this are detailed on that link so that you can become a subscriber and receive details of upcoming events, etc., especially the special ones that's going to be held by Richard Lawrence on the chakras. That is really one to look forward to. Of course, you can continue to connect with Richard through his website, richardlawrence.co.uk, and with Chrissy with her website, chrissyblaise.com. Once again, thank you so very much, Richard and Chrissy, for fantastic 12 years of Aetherius Radio Live. I take this opportunity of wishing you all a very happy Christmas and a spiritually fulfilling new year.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.